Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. I am Jason Whitlock. That is Marcellus Wiley. That dude.
Yes, sir.
Coming up, we'll tell you what last night's incredible comeback means for the Clippers. But we begin today with Russell Wilson, who late last night agreed to a record-setting contract with the Seattle Seahawks. Wilson had given the Seahawks an April 15th tax day deadline to extend his contract. Most NFL insiders believe there was no chance the Seahawks could meet that time limit. Fueled by rumors that Wilson's wife, R&B singer Ciara, preferred to live in New York, Pro Football Talk reported on Monday that the Seahawks had come to believe Wilson wanted out of Seattle and was willing to take less money from other organizations to make that happen. And then, early this morning, Wilson posted this to his Twitter page.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
That is player-ish right there. I mean, for real. He got drip around his neck, Bay's head on his chest and shoulder, and Russ went full Barry White. Hey, Seattle, We got a deal. I don't know why, I don't know why. Can't get enough of your love, baby. Wow. Russell Wilson and Ciara just wrote the book on how you play this game. Not only did Wilson get a $65 million signing bonus and an average of $35 million a year, he just completely remade his image. He went from the nerdy goofball picked on by Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, and the Legion of Boom to Idris Elba and Michael Jordan rolled into one compact package. We haven't seen this kind of celebrity makeover since Justin Timberlake rose from the Mickey Mouse Club to Future Sex Love Sounds. Move over, Barack and Michelle. There's a new black royal couple hailing from the Emerald City. This isn't a story about what Russell Wilson did. This is a story about what Russ and Ciara did together. This is Bonnie and Clyde, side by side. Ciara's a rider, Russ is a roller. Whatever he lacks, Ciara's on his right over his shoulder. Wilson was able to leverage the Seahawks with the myth that he was prepared to leave Seattle because of his wife. She made that negotiating tactic plausible. She was the bad guy, so Russell could remain the good guy. The Seahawks folded. They adjusted their plans to meet Wilson's time and financial demands. This is a significant moment for Wilson and football. Wilson is the first black quarterback since Donovan McNabb in 2002 to be the NFL's highest paid player. Next year, Wilson's deal will likely be eclipsed by Patrick Mahomes. The mainstream woke media has been pushing out the bogus narrative that Colin Kaepernick's unemployment proves black quarterbacks face discrimination in the NFL and the league's decision-making is ruled by racism. The truth is, there's never been a better time to be a black quarterback if you know how to play the game on and off the field. Russell Wilson and Ciara just wrote the book on it. We should all study it. All right, joining the desk now, former Pro Bowl receiver T.J. Houshmandzadeh. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Does Ciara deserve credit for Russell Wilson's new image and new contract?
No, absolutely not. No shots at Ciara, who I truly respect, truly liked as an artist. Even at one time, way before younger days, I was like, man, she is amazing. amazing. But, you know, I don't speak about somebody's wife, so respect to that family unit. That said, Russell Wilson's image is the exact same in terms of landing in the locker room to the former players, to the people I think who look at him, it's the exact same image. And let's say what that is. Russell Wilson's only cool to people who aren't cool. Like, that's just what it is. He was like that before. He's like that right now. And if you think something's changed, that's probably because you didn't know of Russell Wilson before Ciara. So you think this is something. But this is the same guy. Guess who that guy is? The guy who goes out there and does all the right things and then is going to say all the right things. Just that simple. And I like Russell Wilson. He's not cool. And that's the coolest thing about him. He's not trying to be conventional, traditional, culturally cool. There are a lot of people out there raising their hand and trying to be that person.
Hey, Marcellus.
Huh?
We got a deal. He ain't trying to be cool.
You don't think that's... You think
he's laying in bed with gold chain. He ain't trying to be cool.
You know what? I'm going to revise what I'm not just kidding. No, I will say this. Look, they've worked together well. Look, there's some image changing, and if you want to say some image changing, it happened more with Ciara than it did with Russell Wilson. Think about her history, her past, being a baby mother, a future, all that kind of stuff. She is now looked at as wholesome, whole, and really a great thing.
Oh, they both winning.
But all you can say for Russell Wilson, what you're going to say, or maybe some people will say is, oh, he's looking cooler. He's trying to be cooler. But guess what? It's landing in the same exact place. And respect for him to letting his wife have some influence, but I don't think it's changing really his image.
Yeah, I believe she's helped change in the way he's viewed. When you go back to when he first got into the league, Richard Sherman, I mean, no disrespect at all, but they had me thinking that Russell Wilson was a cornball. They really did. The way they would talk to him, and he would finish every interview with, "Go Hawks."
He just did again.
But when
what?
In a different voice, Marcel.
Number one, who's going to bed with four chains on? Who's?
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal. Now let's go.
Wait
back
a minute.
To sleep.
TJ.
Would you have thought he would have done that 3-4 years ago?
I will. No.
Before he got with Ciara.
No, but I will
so
say
that
this.
That means that's part of the image change that she's helped crafted and helped him out with that.
She used to somebody go to bed with four chains. Maybe more than that. Future over golden in the bed.
They've complimented each other. Before he got married to Ciara, only thing that we ever saw of Russell Wilson doing football interviews and finishing with the Go Hawks. Now he's outside of that realm in the entertainment world, and he's not looked at as a cornball, how his teammates at least gave us that perception that he was.
No, you see, that's when you got lost. Here's the thing. The teammates who said that, they gone. Now, he won the battle of who's going to stay here.
But
who's
did they
have
not
the
give
voice?
You the perception that Russell, as you said, wasn't cool?
I think Russell's the same guy. I knew he was never cool, quote-unquote cool.
Marcel,
and I like
what
that.
What he just did
that's
last
cool.
night.
That's cool? Was that cool?
Yes,
come on,
I'm gonna tell
man.
You why, Marcellus.
On that voice?
Marcellus,
what? What is it, 1970?
Late at night?
Marcellus.
That was cool?
Marcellus, I'm gonna tell you why, man.
Why that's cool?
He won the biggest chess game to be played. He just, Seattle, April 15th, had my money.
Mm-hmm.
And he just laid in bed. They had my money, Seattle.
Yeah.
We good, Seattle.
He backed Seattle in a corner.
They just broke all protocol. That's not how they handle. He gave him a deadline and demands and told him. And you would have never thought Russell Wilson and his woman would sit there and say, look, we're going to bounce up out of here and have everybody believing it was a possibility.
Right.
And then he goes, I was just bluffing.
But see,
I wanted this money
y'all got
on
caught.
My schedule.
The cosmetics got y'all. He put on that makeup after the fact. You think Russell Wilson walked in there with that level of gangster? What has been his weapon of choice all this time? Being corny. Being the guy who's going to do all the right things, say all the right things. Don't act like the gold chain Russell Wilson walked up into that office and said, give me my money on the 15th. That's not how that works.
I don't care what
years
he was wearing.
Years
he
and years.
He just punked them.
No,
he's the highest paid on his timeline. April 15th, have my money.
You know, guys, you know the NFL. You say I want this contract by April 15th if I'm never signing a long-term deal. They fold like that?
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers.
That's a damn good look.
Did Aaron Rodgers get paid with 2 years left on his contract, the highest
total
paid before
guy.
This? Hold on. Did he overcool it to get it done?
But did he give,
did he give him a
deadline? Did he say, if you don't give me this extension, I'm never signing a contract here?
You can't tell me that on play in the locker room, man. Guys, he just told you, on my time, have my money.
You know what?
Never broke character. His wife played the bad guy. That plays in the locker room.
It plays in the locker room where... Let's quote Antonio Brown. When everybody else ain't got paid, guess what? That plays. If Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, them boys were still there, that ain't going to play the same. Matter of fact, it won't even
they're
be extra.
It would not play the same, but they not there, so now it's like.
That's why I say he won the war against them, and he didn't win it being cool. He won the war against Seattle in terms of getting the contract, not by being cool. Look, I get what you're saying. We're getting the same place, but a different way.
Hey, what do you think Richard Sherman and those guys, when they saw that, AC, what do you think they thought when they see that?
They thought that he won.
I'm going to just say.
Respect to him, as we always want somebody to get paid.
Let's take cool off the table.
Okay, please.
Because
please.
I think what what TJ's saying and I'm saying is that cornball is another word for punk. And Russell Wilson just said, I ain't no punk now. Now,
hold on.
And again, that will never be questioned again. Somebody to do the NFL, like, that does not happen.
Time
you got to do what AB did and go play on some busted team somewhere to get that kind of money. This man is the highest paid quarterback and player in the NFL on his timeline. That's some player stuff, Marcellus.
Let's not conflate all of these elements. One, you can be corny and get paid. And it's okay to be corny in the first place. Like, Russell.
I'm not saying there's nothing
wrong with
that.
Yes, that is so true. But can you give them a deadline and say, I want my money April 15th? If you do not give it to me, I'm never signing a long-term contract.
He didn't say that. He said, I'm going to shelf this. And have we not heard that hundreds of times?
He had everybody yesterday. We were just talking. He may leave to New York.
He said, I will shelf this until after the season.
And he nuanced it by saying, I might take less.
Huh?
I might take less to go somewhere else, but I ain't taking less to stay in Seattle.
All reports from others but him. If he's so gangster, why didn't it come out of his mouth before the 15th? Go.
Because he played
the
game.
He can't destroy his own image.
Oh, he played the game.
I thought you gangster.
He played the game. He is.
He won the game, but stop saying he played the cool game and won it.
Let me ask you this.
What?
Does he need another Super Bowl to justify this contract? And as much, I think he does.
No, he doesn't. He's smart. Now, him, he's smart. Y'all can go about this cool. We left that. We shelving cool and corny. Smart? Hell yeah. He has learned from some of the smart greats of yesterday of how to go after a contract in terms of managing expectations and getting all your money. I remember this in 1999. I was a defensive end looking around the landscape. Who's getting paid? Who's not getting paid? And one, Michael Strahan, went out there and signed a 4-year, $32 million deal. And I said, damn, Strahan is great. He could get longer and more money. Why is he doing 4 years, 32? Because as soon as you blink, he right back at that table said, I got all that money, give me more. Russell Wilson has learned from the guys who did it like that. Even a Kirk Cousins, who's not as great, signed a 3-year, fully guaranteed basic deal. Guess what that means? Nobody's talking about Minnesota, which was a game away winning the Super Bowl. He doesn't have to win a Super Bowl. He's going to be back at the negotiation table right before it even stops. And on top of that, he's going to get all his money. Those 4 years, there's no trade clause. Russell Wilson is not dealing with absurd expectations. This was a smart play on both levels.
He has to win a Super Bowl. He has to make it exciting. He has to bring a brand of football. Seattle has been a run-first team. Mm-hmm. That's going to change. When you make your quarterback the highest-paid player in it, that's going to change now. So the way he plays and his style of play is going to have to change. It's going to have to be very exciting. Seattle's going to have to become must-see TV if he does not win a Super Bowl.
Why? I don't see how.
Well, like, anytime you're given this type of contract, they want that return. And that return is excitement and or Super Bowls.
The narrative, though, Marcellus, I think is my argument and TJ's in terms of, look at Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Nobody's satisfied. One's not enough. Your talent says you should have won more. We just heard Brett Favre say it. Well, again, even without talent, when your contract, you're the highest paid player, the media narrative and the expectations of the fans is, all right, this guy's going to bring us another Super Bowl. He's the highest paid guy in the league. And I just think, again, will Seattle be satisfied, the organization keeping Russell Wilson at this price, whether he wins a Super Bowl or not? Absolutely. Great kid, great quarterback, the whole nine. But will the media narrative start to be, hey, man, you got to deliver. You're the highest paid guy. We need another Super Bowl out of you. I think so.
I don't think so. I think the game has changed. One, this is a guy playing with house money in terms of I gave y'all two Super Bowl opportunities and one on the low, on the cheap. So I got some equity built in. So whatever happens.
Point.
Two, Aaron Rodgers just was given this highest contract that was beat by Russell Wilson. And they hadn't been to the Super Bowl since 2010, 2011.
And he takes some heat.
But he doesn't take heat because he hasn't won another Super Bowl. They just saying, like you said, can y'all win some more? Can y'all get into the playoffs? You just said that. Like,
Brett Favre just said they should have won more. And he meant Super Bowls. He means they should win another.
Look, you can say he meant that, but I think Brett Favre went far enough to say exactly what he meant. He didn't say Super Bowls. That's not that difficult to say Super Bowls. Win more means getting to the damn playoffs,
just bring
right?
some excitement. Bring some excitement
I'll give
to
you
Seattle.
That. Don't be sorry. Be Russell Wilson.
Exactly.
You are box office already. Don't do more. He's already been criticized by his own coach at times. Russell tries to do too much. I don't think now you give him the money and say, now go do too much. I think he's going to have the same expectations and genius move to only do 4 years. Because guess what? He'll be 34 when it's over.
Get him again.
Aaron Rodgers just got the highest contract at 34. His agent needs a raise. He mapped that on perfectly in terms of the calendar of what to get and expectations and how to manage him.
Last point, when I heard this last night and saw the numbers, it was big to me just because, look, I'm a defender of football. I think there's a negative narrative on football, as it pertains to race, as it pertains to Colin Kaepernick. I think this contract and him ascending to the highest paid quarterback in the league, the first time we've had a black quarterback in that spot since 2002, I think it's a significant moment for black quarterbacks.
You know what? I'm not going to lie. I didn't look at it through that lens when this occurred. I didn't even think about the racial component. But in part, it's because I lived through an era and played against Donovan McNabb when he got the $100 million. Dante Culpepper when he was paid and got $100 million. Michael Vick, not only just once, but twice. And here's the gangster of it. The second one was after prison. Whoa. Hold on. You got two 100s and then one of them at jail? Man, right then, I was like, this black quarterback narrative is gone. If Michael Vick is able to do that, so when Russell Wilson did it, I was just looking like, okay, that's just another one. But in terms of there's really been that much adversity or resistance to the black quarterback, in terms of compensation, that's long been behind me.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of it either. But if you look at it, there's 5 African-American starting quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Cam Newton.
Lamar Jackson.
And Lamar Jackson. Now, Kyler Murray and Dwayne Haskins, which they should be first-round picks next week, that's a
Dak
quarter.
Dak Prescott's that, another starter.
That's a quarter of the league would be black quarterbacks. And so the black quarterback used to have a narrative of, oh, they're really athletic, but they're just not smart enough, or they're just too athletic to play in a pocket. That's changed. So when I saw this contract, I did not even think about it. Mm. When I saw the question, I said, you do have a point that it is significant because it's shown that a black quarterback – can not only be a black quarterback, you can lead a franchise, and you can be one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And so, yeah, it has to be significant.
For me, I just want the narrative to be to young people, there's great opportunity out there. Play the game the right way, and you can reach Russell Wilson status, Patrick Mahomes status, MVP of the league. Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins is going to be the first 2 quarterbacks taken in the draft. I think we need to sell the opportunity more than, oh, my God, the league is against you, because these kids will run out there and get that opportunity once they know us out there. Whitlock and a very happy Marcellus Wiley. All right, joined now by Fox NBA analyst Jim Jackson and NBA champion Matt Barnes. Time now for a big story about Marcellus' Clippers.
Say it again.
Who found themselves down 31 to the Warriors last night, about halfway through the third quarter, with Golden State starting to think they were halfway to an easy sweep. But then Lou Williams turned on the magic and led the Clippers to the largest comeback in NBA playoff history against the reigning champions, evening the series at 1-1, and more importantly, I think they just rolled out the red carpet for Kawhi Leonard. They have their story now. Mm. They hired Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated to help them craft a narrative to sell to Kawhi Leonard. And all you got to do is put this tape on. Doc Rivers is back as an elite coach. We got something, a special energy and chemistry around here in the Clippers. All we need is a superstar. Kawhi, get your butt on over here.
Yeah, all we need is that cherry on top because everything is there. Damn this, woo! All right, first of all, let me pat myself on the back for one, being a Clipper fan, but two, for at halftime tweeting this out. Can y'all understand what I am? The guy who sees this and knows what this is, and that hill wasn't too high to climb. Right where we want them, we were down 23. I ain't gonna lie, I'm a Clipper fan, but damn, in the third quarter, we were down 31. I was like, that ain't what we wanted. But we started to climb. Uncle Momentum started to come our way. We know how that goes playing sports. There are 2 scoreboards, the one with your eyes and the numbers, and the one we feel in our heart, the energy, that momentum. We started to turn the tables. Here's the thing that's beautiful about this in story. L.A. Rams went 13-3 this year. There's another team in L.A. called the L.A. Chargers that went 12-4. Kind of unnoticed. A lot of people didn't know that. Looked up, was like, oh, man, they're good, too. Let's root for them in the playoffs. They won the first game against Baltimore. Hey, let's really rally for them. Put some respect on the Chargers' name. But then they went out against New England. And the way they went out against New England made people say, man, don't put no respect on their name. Mm-hmm. The way that you go out, even if we lose this series, means so much to Whitlock's point. We're going to go out with a fight that makes a Kawhi, a KD, whoever it may be, say, if I join that team, all I got to do is add water because they are ready to go. Mm-hmm.
The ironic part is that this Clipper team from the beginning, Sam Cassell's a good friend of mine, they were talking in-house about how this team is different. Not to take shots at Blake Griffin or DeAndre or Chris Paul, before they traded Tobias, it was more the unity within this group. Mm. Doc Rivers said this after the game last night, when I take a guy out, I don't have to worry about it. Okay, if they come to the bench, I don't have to worry about it. Unselfish. So they've been like this the whole time. Gritty, they work hard for each other. And you didn't think that the Clippers probably could beat Golden State in seven games, but like you talked about, what do we show? Mm-hmm. Because we're not only playing for now, Matt, we're playing for two, three, four, 5 years down the line. And who can we get in? Now, I just always keep in mind, this will always be a Laker town.
We get it.
Always. You have an opportunity right now to make a dent and to go out and get somebody special, who that is, whether that's Jimmy Butler or that's Kawhi. But I just think this team, how they play, is just gritty, grimy, and they play for each other, which is a difference than what we've seen in past Clipper teams.
I mean, I think they've bought in, and that's the one thing you can tell, that this is a complete team. They've bought in. They've lost key parts throughout the season, but Doc has done a great job of keeping them focused on the task at hand. You know, they could have packed it in and got that extra first-round pick by not making the playoffs this year. They didn't do that. Ballmer wanted to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs. Keep in mind, it's one game. Warriors will still win the series, but like you guys are saying, they've definitely earned their respect. And to me, they're the number one landing destination this summer in free agency. They got a great owner. You know, everyone knows championships start at the top. They got a great owner. The front office is solid with Lawrence Frank and Jerry West. Doc is back to being an elite coach in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And everyone has bought into their role. Doc's main thing he used to preach with our team, be a star in your role. We had too many egos on our Clipper teams that were good enough to win a championship that kept us away from our ultimate goal. This team has no egos. You add a superstar, they have room for two superstars, and you're an instant contention for a championship.
Let me ask you this, though. The culture is there.
Different.
Who you add next is very important.
Yes.
Because if it's a Jimmy Butler who's had issues in Chicago, Minnesota, and a little bit in Philly,
right?
Is that the component you want with the Clippers, even if he's a top tier?
You don't.
You see what I'm saying? What if you don't get Kawhi? Okay, so, I mean, the next move is so important to where the Clippers go to keep this momentum, because they can't sustain this right here with this group. They're going to be fine. But if you're talking about taking that next level, you need the right superstar.
The whole key, I think, is what Matt talked, be a star in your lane. And Doc Rivers accepting his lane. Mm. I'm just a coach. Mm-hmm. Now he's a superstar again. When he was trying to do too much.
When we were there.
Yeah, and so now he's a star in his lane. And I think Matt's other point, Jim, is I think any of the top free agents should want the Clippers first.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I come away with last night. And I don't care if they get blown out the next two games.
No matter.
This thing right here is an energy of its own and just a message you can ball up and send out. And I think guys are going to love it.
Yeah, I love their point. How it starts at the top, whether it's Doc Rivers or even on the court, Lou Williams, who's a sixth man. Mm-hmm. With our team, really our seventh man. Like, Trez comes in before even Lou Williams gets in the game. And still, it doesn't matter when I get in the game, because it's my impact once I'm in the game. Trez, obviously, and what he does. But if you look at Gallinari, who's always had the rap, if he can stay healthy, well, then everyone knows that they have some warts to their game or something that could keep them down. But guess what? I'm going to still shine no matter what it looks like. Kawhi is the only one that I really see fits this team perfectly in terms of mental makeup.
Right.
But I don't know if that's necessary. Maybe to get to the next level, we're going to have someone who's, like, got that star quality and star potential and going to come with them star issues. But because the core of this team is so strong, as we always say, the locker room is so strong, let him be him, but he's going to give us our buckets, and then we can still bring him into the fold and make him part of it.
I would say this. On Jimmy Butler's defense, too, and I love Jimmy, I think if he does come here, and you understand this, the toughness in which this team plays with kind of matches what he talked about, probably what he lacked in Minnesota. How that corresponds in Philly, we still don't know. But I do believe this with the Clippers. I mean, you're playing with two rookies, a third-year player in Montrez, okay? Now, when they got Shamet, to me, following him at Wichita State, I thought it was a bad move for Philly. They had to do it because of the trade. But a young player that has experience over 4 years and can shoot the heck out the ball.
Right.
So their building blocks are there. Mm-hmm. And, Doc, you said it yourself, just being the coach and understanding how to evaluate the best way to win on the court with those players, just been genius.
And they're still in L.A., y'all. Like, we said a lot of great things about the culture, ownership, deep pockets. It's still,
yeah, still in L.A.
You're still in L.A., so yeah. The whole Lakers, let's take over the Lakers, that's all in jest. Reality, man, you got 16 championships. We ain't catching that. It's going to be forever. But what we can catch is impact. What we can catch is those youngsters who are growing up have not seen a good right. Lakers team in oh, six, 7 years.
I think what's most important now in culture, society, what have you done for me lately? Right. People don't care about the history of what the Lakers have accomplished with all due respect, just like with UCLA. People don't care about the banners that Wooden got with all due respect. It's what have you done for me lately. It'll always be a Laker town. It's hard for anyone to catch 16 titles, but the Clippers will run it if they play their hand right this summer.
Let's return to the Warriors, who not only blew a huge lead and lost to the Clippers, but also lost Boogie Cousins, with multiple reports confirming today that Cousins did tear his quad when he went down last night and is likely done for the playoffs. But Boogie might not even be the Golden State's biggest concern. After getting ejected from game one, Kevin Durant fouled out last night and didn't even speak to the media after the team's collapse. For me, if I had to choose what's the bigger concern, Boogie's injury or KD's mindset, it's Kevin Durant's mindset. The 9 turnovers,
yeah.
6 fouls, and he's just not shooting the way he used to. He's not even putting up the shot. In his last 15 games, we got a graphic here, his first 65 games averaging 18.8 field goal attempts, now down to 12.4 over the last 15 games. Something's not right with KD.
Yeah, I was going to go KD, except I still got too much trust in the baller in him, and he's smart enough to understand the circumstances and will flip that switch. So I'm going to go with Boogie Cousins. One, he was playing very well for this team in terms of numbers, 20-11 over the last month. Two, if Golden State advances, which most people would say, they are going to play Rockets, Nuggets are in their future. He played tremendous against those teams, 27-8, 28-13. Capella, Jokic, the guys that they're going to need somebody to neutralize or at least make them feel like they got to play both sides of the court, that was going to be Boogie Cousins. Now you miss that. You go down to your backup centers, not necessarily Bogut, the same. Bogut. Bogut. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I'm going to say Boogie's going to be missed, and we'll see it pay forward once we see him out this series.
I think Boogie is a very emotional loss. You feel bad for him because this was his time finally to shine after coming back up after a terrible injury. And, you know, everyone spoke on it. They were excited for him to actually just be able to get out there and play. With that said, I have to say, KD, from the standpoint of just being able to shake all this off. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's still very efficient. He just hadn't shot as much. You know, the only alarming thing last game was the 9 turnovers. I think the refs are getting too caught up in the Patrick Beverley KD matchup, and I mean, this is the playoffs.
That's why he's turning it over.
No. I'm saying that the reason why he fouled out. Yep. This is the playoffs. I think that the game is better when they're both on the floor. They're gonna grab. They're gonna talk trash. They're gonna bump. Let these guys play. But I think mentally, you know, the turnovers are something you can't make an excuse for. They can't happen at this stage of the game. But like Mark.
Marcellus,
I forgot your name.
Man, that's messed up.
Man, we Clip City over here.
Clip City.
Like Marcellus said, I got too much confidence. I got too much confidence.
That product working.
I got too much confidence in the two-time final right. MVP to say that this is something that's going to linger him throughout the rest of the
playoffs. Hold on for 1 second.
Okay.
You seem reluctant to give Patrick Beverley credit.
Oh, no, tons of credit. I'm a similar player. I love what Patrick Beverley is. He's in KD space.
It's what Lance Stevenson
he's
space.
In KD space. Exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, when I say that, KD's averaging still 22. KD's playing his role. He's never been someone that's going to force shots or play outside of his role. He's taking the shots that are coming to him. He shot 12 free throws last game. You know what I mean? So he still was, 5-for-8, 11-for-12 from the line, 21 points.
Eight
you want
shots.
To see him shoot more, obviously, but he's not someone that's going to force his shots.
Here's the issue. This is why it's so smart with Patrick Beverley. The way Golden State plays, they're perimeter-oriented team. So, and they keep you spread. They're not going to post up KD a lot. So advantage is Patrick Beverley 25 feet away from the court, from the baskets, you know, because he can get up underneath him. Now KD can't get into his rhythm and his dribble. If you were to post KD up, which they don't do a lot of, advantage KD. So smart on the Clippers' part. And when I was thinking about this question, I was saying, which one? Is it Boogie or is it KD I'm concerned? I'm going to say both. Because it's Boogie because in that second round, if you don't have that toughness, okay, against Houston, Capella, P.J. Tucker, these guys, you lose something. If you advance into where you have to be, you need somebody like that. KD's because everything that he's dealing with. Okay, not just this game. I think he'll bounce back and still have, you know, some tremendous performances, okay? Because once you get through the Clippers, you're not going to have a feisty small defender like that to guard you again. Right. You're not having the Patrick Beverley. Yeah.
And that's the difference. Yeah. Like, Boogie's injury, we won't see it until we get to the other series. We're like, damn, you missed Boogie.
Exactly.
But you also won't see KD return to KD until he gets out of this series also.
What happened last night when Patrick Beverley got out the game and KD got some easier baskets?
Now, exactly. And you know what? It's funny. When I was playing, it's crazy. Like, there are prototypical offensive tackles. There are prototypical people that could defend KD. And KD is used to that. I was used to the 6'5", 300-pounder. Mm-hmm. But when you gave me a fire hydrant like a Whitlock, 6'2", 3'10",
It's different, right? They all compact and everything,
oh,
right?
Man, center of balance. You know, I hated that.
I think there's a couple things here. I think, one, you could tell the Clippers are not afraid of the Warriors.
At all.
So they're trying to punch him in the face, and I love that standpoint. But I also think this is going to prepare the Warriors for what the rest of getting three was never easy. No one ever said the third time around was going to be easy. So getting through the Clippers are going to prepare me. And fortunately for the Warriors, what I can say is the center spot has never been a focal spot in any of their championships. Mm-hmm. It's always been by committee. Great signing by Bogut now in hindsight looking at it.
Yes.
And then Looney, you know, career high in points. He's always solid, played well, very smart player. They need to get Jordan Bell back in the rotation somehow, because I think he's going to pay dividends down the line. But I really think what the Clippers are doing to him is really going to, okay, this is not going to be, this is the Wild West. This is not going to be sweeps. This is not going to be a joyride. We're going to be beat up if we're fortunate enough to get to the finals, and it's starting now.
Okay, this to me is what separates KD from LeBron, because Patrick Beverley is just a different form of Lance Stephenson. Lance Stephenson used to pull this stuff with LeBron.
Not even close to the defender, though. Antics, yes, but night and day as far as playing defense.
Not the tenacity.
Okay, right. Great point. Okay, no. I'm going to back off a little bit because I just don't – to see KD with the 9 turnovers, fouling out, 8 shots, some of this is between his ears, and he's allowed Patrick Beverley between his ears, and I never saw Lance Stephenson or anybody – get between LeBron, other than that Dallas series, and maybe Boston, so maybe I'm walking it back. I have seen, but this to me is concerning for KD, his mindset, and again, just his toughness and being the premier player in the league right now, particularly with LeBron sidelined for the playoff. Can he handle
but
it?
But here's the thing, though. You can't, I mean, it's easy for us to say, Matt, you are antagonistic on the court. It's easy for me to say, you can't get caught up into it.
Yeah.
It's not that easy, okay? But at the same time, KD has to understand, too, the group I have around me will allow me to get mine when I need to get it. It's not like he's a singular object that has to carry the team and I have to go out and get 40 points for us to win. So you have to kind of take yourself and remove yourself from that aspect of it, because you can still be effective, against Patrick Beverley. Yeah. You got to pick and choose your spots and utilize those other guys you got on the court to get you those easy baskets. Because going back and forth is only playing into the hands of what they want you to do.
And he's still averaging, 21, 22 points a game? He's still shooting over 50%. He's still shooting 90% from the free throw line. So I agree, Patrick Beverley is doing.
He needed 3 more points last night.
You're absolutely right. Patrick Beverley is doing a great job at what he is doing, disrupting KD's mental flow of the game. But I think overall, it's hard to compare what Lance was doing to LeBron, because those are night and day defenders. Patrick Beverley is playing how Toddy Allen used to play Kobe. He's just in his space, making everything tough, but Kobe still got it done. And he recognized that Tony was the toughest player ever guard me. I guarantee when it's all said and done, KD will say, when Patrick Beverley did what he did, it was tough for me, but he still overcame it, and the team is still going
to
make their move.
Easy fix. Go to the low post like this. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson is back. Time to get antisocial.
Uh-oh.
Darnell.
Hey, hold up. Can I ask you a question?
What's up?
So you and Whit, y'all got the same haircut, the same barber.
We trying to get with, like me.
I mean, that's what he trying to do.
I don't blame him, no. I look good, okay. No.
All right.
Nottingham Village legend.
Eastside. Whit like ain't got no waves, though.
No, he ain't got no waves.
He got a brush in the
lot. He's just standing up right here. He ain't got no waves.
Poetic justice. You got a little brush.
I just went on Amazon.
Come on, man. Get the do-rag, man. You got to get the do-rag.
He ordered a do-rag. From that wave grease. That's my dog. Some Dax.
There's some what? Some Dax. Some Murrays.
I got some Murrays. What's poppin'?
We're going to start with Marcel's Clippers.
Yeah.
As we discussed, we all know they had a miracle comeback last night. Mm-hmm. But turns out the good luck started way before the game. Check out what happened to their coach, Doc Rivers.
At the corner today, I was walking down the street. It's a true story. I reached in my pocket to grab my phone. Unbeknownst to me, I dropped about $2,000 on the floor, on the street, kept walking, didn't know it. The guy tapped me on the back and said, that's your money. I don't know a lot of places that would happen, but it happened today. So whoever that was, you could have had free tickets if you hadn't ran away.
All right, be real with me, y'all. If y'all saw this much money fall in someone's pocket, would y'all give it back?
Absolutely.
He'd have got $1,900 from me.
$1,900? You gonna keep $100? Transaction tax? What? Hell no. You know what? It's funny. $2,000. Maybe there's a number for some people, but for me, I give it all back. There's a bank you could deposit that in. All right, you got $2,000. You got Doc Rivers. But the bank in the sky, and I don't even believe in karma. For real, I don't believe in karma. I do believe that's your money. I'm going to give it back to you because if it happened to me, I want you to do the same. That's that simple. So, yeah, I give it back. Thank you.
He'd have got $1,900.
You're $1,900. Hey, listen. First of all, that's Doc's FU money. Because if he dropped it, because you know it probably was all hundo, so it wasn't real heavy in his pocket, so he didn't even know he was missing it.
Yeah, tripping.
Now, I will say, maybe when I was younger, that money would have been mine.
And maybe it ain't a maybe. You like, yeah. You would have
been. I'd have been like, today's my blessed day. The Lord was looking out for me. I found it.
That ain't how the Lord works, I don't think.
How come? In my world, he might.
I'm going to give a serious answer.
Please do.
I thought about this for years, actually. It's so, when you're wealthy, it's so much easier to have financial morality.
Yeah.
I've been in places where they've given me a $20 bill when I handed them a 10 and checked wrong.
Give it back.
Blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
When I was young and broke, I was out the store. I was out the
right.
Place. So,
damn. Right now, definitely give it back. But back in the day,
man. And I used to steal. I used to be a little thief. I ain't gonna lie to you. But it wasn't money. That T-shirt, I could wear it. Them grapes, let me eat them.
What?
Them grapes, going to the grocery store, eating everything.
I just came to get it in my pocket.
But not $2,000.
All right, next.
Yeah, moving on to Magic Johnson. The former Lakers president said his desire to tweet more freely was one of the reasons for stepping down, and he's been doing just that.
Yeah.
Tweeting up a storm at the Dodgers game last night, handing out congratulations to several athletes like Tiger Woods, and sharing some extremely comprehensive analysis on the NBA playoffs. Guys, y'all think Magic is finally back in his happy place?
Yes, he is.
What?
Tweeting nonsensical stuff. Yes, he is. That's his happy place.
I love Magic, but his Twitter game is a little suspect.
Sometimes he puts himself on and he's just like,
It pays to be popular, don't it? Because people just be liking and retweeting. I'm like, did y'all read that? What is Magic talking about? But yeah, he's in a good place. A billionaire winning in every level of life except one, which is really just being done out of loyalty.
Twice. Hold up. He coached before.
Well, yeah.
And,
he had a TV show.
Yeah, no.
So he won
a billionaire then. He was climbing. Well,
that's true. But he was still Magic. But I do believe that it was so hard on him, and we were talking about this off camera. The decisions he wanted to make in regards to where the Lakers were going, needed to go, he couldn't make.
He couldn't do it.
So it was probably just eating him. Now, I didn't agree with him doing it, like the press conference.
The way he did it.
Because if Jeannie is his sister, he'd be like, listen, to preserve our friendship, I got the role. I got to bounce.
Yeah, dip set.
You know, but I get it. He's happy right now.
Oh, he living.
He's smiling all the way like that.
Yeah, he got that life back.
Max!
Yeah, moving on to Nick Bosa, who's been in the headlines recently due to some controversial tweets from his past. An article was recently published criticizing Bosa with the headline, MAGA loving Colin Kaepernick hating top NFL draft prospect seems to hate everything black. Well, Bosa's mom wasn't too fond of the article, tweeting out, maybe this fella who has never met Nick Bosa should find out who will be in the green room at the draft. Also, have a chat with his best friends and teammates. Do you like his mom clapping back here?
No, because I just think you give this life and energy. I think this is exactly what the writer wanted. He wanted someone from the Bosa family or Nick to respond. I get why she's a mom. My mom loves to defend me. And I'm like, Mom, stop. So I get where she's coming from, but you don't want to give this stuff energy.
Yeah.
I'm a parent, so I know it's an impossible position when somebody talking about your kids, yeah, all bets are off. But Mama Bosa, don't spit at the fire. Because one, you're not going to put that fire out. Whatever that noise is around your son, it's just beginning. He's about to be a star in this league, probably a superstar the way he plays. Mm-hmm. You do not worry about the outside noise. You just build him up so he can deal with the noise. So that's what I'm going to tell my son. If anything ever comes to him in terms of scandal, we don't care about it. We just gonna build you up so you tune that out. And that's her message to her son.
Isn't it different though, being a father though, from the emotional perspective, mm, to being a mother? Because my son played, he went through his own thing at Wisconsin. He had to deal with some stuff, but I always stayed out the fray. But it seems like from a mother's perspective sometimes, not to say that fathers don't do it,
mm-hmm,
but a mother is more emotionally, oh, yeah, tied to that.
That's,
and she's like, enough is enough. But like you said, Whit, all it's doing is just flaming the fire even more.
Right, yeah,
people
true.
Keep continue to talk,
yeah,
about
my,
it.
My mama put hands on people before. Like,
did she?
Pre-social media, thank God. But, yeah, put hands, yeah, on people for talking about me crazy. So, yeah, I get it, the emotion. My dad always stayed up out of it. So, I understand.
I wanted before. My son to figure it out because he would have to deal with it rather now when he was playing in life, whatever he had to do. You got to navigate your way through the negativity.
Preach.
And I can't always be there for you, so figure it out. That was just me.
I used to have parties in Kansas City at my house, and my bosses would come, and I would have to separate my mother from my boss.
Mm.
Because, you know, if she didn't like something, she wanted to mouth,
mm-hmm,
off.
Mm-hmm.
So mothers are different.
Right.
That's why, yeah, they're special.
Ain't gonna fire all my right. son then.
Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Take it away.
All right, guys. So yesterday, President Trump tweeted out that he will be presenting Tiger Woods with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And I want to ask you guys, do you think Tiger deserves this?
Tough for me.
Really?
Yeah, real tough. Active athletes haven't received this award.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's
yes.
tough for me.
Well, I'm going to help you. Yes, he deserves it. Give him the roses while he can still smell them. Don't wait till I'm retired or maybe I'm even gone. And then y'all be like, oh, you know what you get? Presidential Medal of Freedom. And look, the list of golfers, even though they weren't active, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Charlie Sifford. Does Tiger fit in that camp?
Absolutely.
Well, then give it to him, damn it. Let's just change it. Give it to him.
Well, that's his boy anyway, Trump is. They play golf together, live by each other.
That's real.
So, I mean, it's a connection there. And, you know, for Tiger, the redemption story and everything we talked about, he's such a different person in a different place in his life. The appreciation now, I think, for the game, his family. Look, we all make mistakes. I don't condemn him for what he did. It was wrong. He knows it. But I was just happy to see where he's at. Does he deserve it? He deserves a lot more. But he had to go through all of this over there to get to where he's at right now. So why not give it to him?
I guess my thing would be, look, Trump's going to be in office for another year and a half. Did he have to come out with this immediately?
Oh, yeah, the impact after the Masters.
Trump, you know Trump but riding Trump, the way he want to ride.
You know what he's doing?
That's injecting himself into a non-political event.
And?
Again.
That's Trump.
That's what I'm saying. He could have waited for a year later, next year, to announce this or to say he's going to do this. I just didn't. Right now, as an active player, and again, look, man, I love Tiger Woods. He can get the Whitlock Medal of Freedom every day of the week. But some of his wounds are self-inflicted.
Yeah.
And, you know.
But what do they say? It's never the wrong time to do the right thing. So, you know what? It's the right thing to do. He embodies the American dream, and not just his redemption story. Just, he was a two-year-old. Y'all remember that little cute little dude with the big eyes? And was golfing on TV shows. And he took that and didn't get caught up in the sauce and became Tiger Woods, then fell off from where that was. And then is now building that back? I mean, I think that's inspirational to all types.
But Trump is really good at this. You see this? Pop, hit you over here. Okay? Yeah. With all the stuff that's going on politically and everything that's going on with the investigations, every now and then he'll pop something in there so you just won't even talk about it. Mm. And now we're talking about this.
Yeah.
Okay? And then it may circle back around, then he'll do it again.
The thing I do love about it is that Tiger's weekend, and particularly on Sunday, again, I think Colin talked about this yesterday. It's one of the few times in recent American history where we all were rooting for the same team. That was a great feeling. And so if Trump's trying to celebrate that, I guess it is the right time. And again, he does deserve it. It's just a matter of me of timing.
Yeah.
I would have waited a year.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and TJ Houshmandzadeh are back. Time for our rewarding performance, sponsored by the Spark Cash Card from Capital One. Let's move to Tiger Woods, whose run to a fifth green jacket captured the attention of the world this weekend, including another sports icon in the later stages of his career, LeBron James, who tweeted his congratulations on Sunday. Both of these guys are generational icons, and both are chasing icons of an earlier generation. Both over the past year, Tiger seems to be gaining momentum in his pursuit of Jack Nicklaus, while LeBron's chase of Michael Jordan appears to have stalled out. Question is, here is, who will have a better final chapter, Tiger or LeBron? I think it's kind of obvious just because Tiger's already written the first 500 words to his chapter with that Masters victory, and LeBron's staring at a blank page right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is obvious. It's Tiger Woods. One, LeBron kind of disqualifies himself in terms of how much more he wants to gain in his final chapter when he goes on the shop and says, look, I'm already the GOAT. You know, after I won that series, we're down 3-1. So, okay. And for me, he's the GOAT for me as well. So I understand that he's like, I'm not catching Jordan. So I already caught
you
Jordan.
Think he's better than Jordan?
Yeah. But do not take this conversation there. We'll go there another time.
I'll let you wallow in
that. I'm going to let me live. Damn yeah. Right, I'm going to live. But he also has said that I don't have anything else to prove. Like, when you hear that come out your mouth while he's still playing, even though we know he's going to give full effort, he still is kind of like thinking that I'm at the top. Like, I'm Jack Nicklaus, whatever you want to think about that, versus Tiger, who is playing an individual sport, so I control all the variables. Yeah. Two, I got a redemption story, and it's not for y'all. It's for my family. It's for the schism that I caused, the self-inflicted wounds, to mend these fences. You see that hug with his kids? That's about, your daddy used to be everything, and I'm gonna show you everything now. Mm-hmm. And this is who I am. So he's on a mission, where LeBron's mission doesn't seem like I am, because it's mission accomplished. So I say it's Tiger.
Or he's giving up.
Yeah.
You're wrong. To me, it has to be Tiger, just because he's going to have so much more opportunity. Yeah. He's going to play golf a lot longer than LeBron's going to play basketball.
He's 40 years old. LeBron's going to play 3 more years. Tiger's going to be in his prime.
Tiger going to play into his
50s. He's going to play to the 50.
He got back Masters. Issues.
Yeah, and he's had them. And he just won the Masters issues. With a back issue.
He got a fuse back now.
So he's going to play golf a lot longer.
Oh, yeah.
And he just won the Masters this past weekend. LeBron at least is going to have to win another championship. And I hope I'm wrong, because I'm a Laker fan, so I would like to see the Lakers right the ship and get this thing on track. But when you look at it, I don't think it's even close. Right. It's Tiger Woods.
But yeah, what's attainable? I think you brought up a great point. Individual sport, which he controls a lot of, Tiger Woods, compared to a team sport in which LeBron needs the help to try to win. Trying to win one championship is hard, but trying to catch 3 to get to 6 is virtually impossible on the back end of where he's at. Mm. I think it was Jack Nicklaus that won his last major at 46, okay, years old. So Tiger is trending towards that, because now you can win one major a year, okay? And now he's 15, Jack is at 18. He can catch him.
Yep.
Just by one a year.
That's going to be hard to do. He went years without winning one.
Here's the thing, though. He's now back mentally healthy. I think before, the physical part was one thing. My biggest thing with Tiger was, can he get through 4 days of the grind mentally to win a major? And he proved that he can do it.
He can
the
now.
Mental part of it. He remembered how to play the game smartly, and he had confidence, and he went out and executed the shots he needed to execute at the time he needed to do it. And I'll give you a prime example. Number 12, Koepka in the water.
Yeah.
Molinari in the water.
Four to five dudes in the water.
Said, I'm going
oh, wait,
to
they're, print, they're pin hunting. You know what he said? Jack Nicklaus set up this hole. The safe was in between the two bunkers. I'm going to put it there, and I'm going to putt for par. I'm going to walk away with a par.
Get that.
That's the memory he
has. And you know, it's someone's won a major at 48, so Tiger is not even thinking that. That's Jack. I'm talking about guys who are less than Jack won a major at 48. So here's the thing. LeBron came to L.A. thinking he was going to have another star with him, whether it was Paul George or whoever, and Magic Johnson. Now he's just sitting there with Rob Pelinka. Who knows? I'm talking about controlling variables and not being able to control variables. LeBron is sitting there. That's why I don't think he quit. I just think he realized, like, I think I'm with Jordan. Y'all going to need time to realize that. Y'all going to need 10 years retired before y'all start to appreciate
can
that.
Can we just marinate on that for it? Does anybody else agree with him? That you don't believe
no, that. Here's my thing.
You don't believe
that.
Come on,
G. No. I believe Michael is the GOAT.
Thank you.
Here's what happens, though. 10, 15 years from now, the people that are writing the narrative and the story that grew up watching, I'm telling you, the same thing happened
you
with Will.
You know what's going to happen?
Oh, wait. Same thing happened with Will. It was the greatest thing ever. Then Kareem came. Yep. Same thing happened. I'm telling you.
Yes, Bill Jordan. Russell knocked Will out.
Ooh. But then Bill Russell got knocked out by Kareem.
Yep.
In regards
to. Remember when Jordan was playing?
So whoever writes the narrative, yeah. Okay, is going to. Back in the day, guess what? Nobody was better than Montana. The narrative changed with Tom
Brady. Here's my problem with...
But he playing and the narrative has already changed. For me, again, watching basketball back, Michael Jordan seemed like he never missed a shot. He came through all the time we needed. Obviously, that wasn't the case, but that's the image that I have. And I've never been a Chicago
but that's
fan,
how your memory. Ever. That's how your memory does you a disservice.
You
because all you remember are highlights.
You like, need getting COVID.
No. It's like with music. Everybody always say, man, our era was the best because all you remember is the great song. Can you talk about them sorry artists?
It was a lot of bad.
Can you talk
bad.
About the Miss Jordan shots and Miss Jordan moments?
Six for six in the finals, man. I wasn't even a Jordan fan. I'm a Pacer fan. I couldn't stand the guy is the GOAT, man.
We're not arguing perfection. We're doing a wherewithal thing. We're doing a total
we get on this.
Tiger,
I thought we were talking about
Tiger Woods.
Got the Michael Jordan, LeBron debate.
Because Tiger and Brady are the stars of stars of this era. LeBron, Tiger just coming back diminishes LeBron.
When Jordan was playing, he still had a shoe contract.
Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Matt Barnes are back. Let's move to Russell Westbrook and the Thunder, who will be looking to even their series with the Blazers tonight in game two. Westbrook's emotions have been front and center this season, beefing with fans on more than one occasion. And after the Thunder came up short in game one, Russ got into it with another of his favorite foes, the media. Take a listen.
Russell, you've played against Dennis before since he left you, but could you tell he had a little extra in his step tonight trying to play against his old pals?
Next question.
Russ, did you think getting down 38-21, 17-point deficit to come back and make it a game down the stretch, is that a good sign for the rest of the playoffs?
Next question.
All right, Russ has had a long-running feud with Barry Trammell, the Daily Oklahoman. But I came to this conclusion this season and after watching that last night. Russ plays angry. And that's the wrong emotion for a point guard. It's the proper emotion, I think, for a power forward. I think it can work for a shooting guard. But a guy that has the ball in his hands that much shouldn't be that angry. I think anger is the wrong emotion for a decision maker. That's why he struggles.
Look, whatever he's been doing in terms of mental makeup is working. He is a playing anomaly. You talk about that anger, it translates into a tenacity and effort that we don't see paralleled. You talk about the way that he plays and his mental approach. On paper, I agree with you, but there's always an exception. And this is a guy who turns whatever that energy is into just something that we don't see matched in terms of other guys can really keep up with him in that pace. Yeah, there's no perfect athlete, so there's always going to be an issue with whatever you do. If you're too even keel, we need you to get up. If you're too angry, we need you to chill out. And if you're too chill, we need you to get hyped. Like, we can always
switch positions.
No, but that sounds great, except his results. What he does.
Individually.
Well, I mean, that's what a team is. It starts with you, me, M-E, and then it turns into we. So if he's doing his part, he needs a collection of people doing the same thing for it to turn into everything.
See, UCLA boy.
I mean, I like it.
For a point guard.
For him, you know, for who he is, he's Russell Westbrook. And I think when you see him getting tired at the fans are out of control these days. They think they can say anything to us. They think they could touch us. They think they could do whatever they want.
But you know, he plays angry.
It's okay. That's the edge he needs. He's always had a chip on his shoulder. He didn't even start at UCLA. He was, you know, not really highly talked about, not highly recruited. So that's been his MO to get here, you know? And I think we get, he makes a triple-double look so easy these days that we forget that this is a very hard feat. A lot of great players never accomplished that, and he's averaged it the last three seasons. So I think him getting tired of the media, and this is no due respect, but sometimes they ask dumb questions. And if you have a beef with somebody, you don't want to hear them talk anymore. You're just tired of hearing them talk. So let me just pass. I'm here.
Well, I'm agreeing with you on that. A lot of times we question the IQ a lot of times of Russell Westbrook running a team and being a point guard, which is okay because at UCLA, he wasn't really taught how to play point guard. When he came into the league at OKC, he wasn't taught how to play point. He has I'm a player mentality. I just want to play. I happen to play point guard. So he doesn't have the Magic Johnson, the John Stockton, you know,
Isaiah Thomas,
Steve Nash of a point guard. Okay, so, but we're judging him because he plays that position on the decisions or non-decisions that he makes. Sometimes Russ can frustrate you.
But is that condemning right now in today's NBA is positionless? So who cares?
That's my point. But here's the thing: I think you do need to quell, I think, sometimes the emotion when the game gets tight.
Time and place.
Because that emotion can spill over to making the wrong decision at the wrong time.
Oh, it's blinding. Okay? That emotion
so
is blinding.
I do think that has to tweak a little bit in order for them to win big. But you can't take away who he is because that emotion drives everything. I think the decisions have to be made a lot better, especially in critical situations. But Russ is who he is, man.
A two guard.
Playing point guard.
Right.
No
question. He has the wrong emotions for the point guard position. That's not some bold condemnation of Russell Westbrook. I have the wrong body to be a swimsuit guard.
Is that equivalent to like a really emotional person playing quarterback? Right? In regards, if you're really emotional.
Well, what is Tom Brady when he curses his coaches out?
But he's
Is that not emotional?
Hold up, but he's not, that's not Russell emotional.
Well, there's nothing
But I'm just saying, but can you equate it to the same thing, though,
well, in regards to that? In football, they always say the defensive side of the ball should be
emotional side.
John Randall's and those types. And then offensively, you're supposed to be a little more cerebral and cognitive instead of just emotional.
Exactly.
I respect that, but there's always an example of the opposite and the outliers. And that's what you got to respect about him. He's an outlier in this situation. You can't get him ignited like that without giving him all that fire. Maybe in the context of...
Who's saying turning off the fire? I'm just saying switch positions. They could have played you inside a defensive tackle. They played you at defensive end. It made more sense.
Yeah.
And so him playing a different... He would be a better two guard, and the team would have a better chance of winning if they took the ball out of his hands. He plays.
But he plays off the ball sometimes, but I get what you're saying.
No, he has the ball a lot.
Oh, of course.
That's why KD left.
But I like
him. They had an angry point guard.
I do like him at times when Schroeder has the ball.
Right.
And he initiates an offense on the wing where Russ can either make a decision off the pick
and
roll.
Off the second side.
When the defense switches, now Russ can take advantage of it. So I do believe, now it goes back to coaching too. Mm. And I said this before, and Scotty Brooks was my man. But Scotty never implemented any kind of accountability early on. So Russ just ran with it. Mm. Billy Donovan right now, Russ just ran with it. Mm. You make an adjustment to put your best player in the best position, and sometimes it is off the ball.
His mindset and temperament make him who he is. So if you take that away, we don't know who we have out there.
Right. You know who we might have? The second coming of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan played angry. Not as angry as Russ, but he was an angry little fella. Kobe Bryant had an edge to him. An angry little fella sometimes. At two guard, this dude is trying to play Magic's joyful position like he's Michael Jordan, and it's not working.
Well, it worked in three season triple double.
Yeah, and a finals appearance. Give him something.
And a finals appearance.
He could be a great player than ever.
Before we go, I'd like to offer some advice to Zion Williamson, the Duke star who yesterday announced his decision to enter the NBA draft. Don't change. Stay humble. Joyful, classy, boy next door. Don't bathe yourself in tattoo ink to fit in. Don't bend to the wokeness of social media. Lean into the traditions and culture of sports, not hip hop. In a couple of months, you'll be the most important player to enter the NBA since LeBron James joined the association in 2003. You can carry his torch and lift the league higher if you learn from his mistakes. LeBron was a good king, but he failed to ascend to his highest level as a basketball ambassador. He polarized
as much as he mesmerized. Like the Mad King, Allen Iverson, King James took his cues from Jay-Z more than Magic, Larry, and Michael. What I mean by that is pop culture influenced LeBron's decision-making more than sports culture. And that's the primary reason King James never reached Air Jordan's level. It's the primary reason, despite the finest collection of individual talent in league history, the NBA has grown stale and in need of remodeling. Zion, your games at Duke consistently drew larger television ratings than NBA games broadcast on ESPN. You are the future. You can be the force that sets the game back on its proper course. You can be the next Michael Jordan. You're both kids from the Carolinas who played for legendary and beloved college coaches. You were college superstars and household names before entering the NBA. You play above the rim and with a contagious energy. You have a universal appeal that can't be learned or taught. Sports, particularly team sports, are meant to bring us together. They're not platforms for division, polarization, and political debate. They're platforms that exemplify humans can put their differences aside and work toward a common goal. Muhammad Ali was a once-in-a-lifetime exception, born into a unique time and forced into a very unique situation. On religious grounds, he rebelled against the military draft and an unpopular war. His rebellion was outside the ring and outside of sports. The truth is, music is the entertainment industry's natural home for rebellion. It's appropriate there. In the 20 years after Michael Jordan's rulership, the NBA swallowed hip-hop's rebellious values. Zion, choose Jordan, not Jay-Z. Uncle Jimmy's here. All right, let's get to our big dummy of the day. Sure, Marcellus.
Just gonna let that outfit go like that?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, big dummy of the day goes to the person that during their witlog made the analogy that compared royalty to Barack and Michelle Obama.
Oh,
Comparing Russell Wilson and Sierra.
Yeah.
Man, don't you never disgrace.
What's in that glass?
Hey, don't you never disgrace royalty like that. Russell and Sierra's royalty. Don't you never do that again.
Oh, wow.
You big dummy.
Russell and Sierra royalty.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Russell Wilson and Sierra.
He drunk.
Russell Wilson and Sierra just wrote the book on how you play this game. Not only did Wilson get a $65 million signing bonus and an average of $35 million a year, he just completely remade his image.
Russell Wilson's only cool to people who aren't cool. Like, that's just what it is. He was like that before. He's like that right now. And I think that's cool.
I love what Russell Wilson did. Hey, Seattle.
Man.
Yeah.
We fake got swag. A deal,
nobody need
y'all.
No
got a deal, y'all. Hey. What's your take, Uncle Jimmy?
Hey. Seattle. We got a deal, y'all. Actually, I feel a little sorry for the brother.
Oh.
I don't know what Sierra did to him. He seemed a little lethargic. He didn't have his energy that like he should have had, man. I don't think he really wanted to make that video. You know what I'm saying? He like, you know, hey guys, we got, you know, Sierra's like, hey guys. Hey guys.
That's Russell.
What the hell wrong with you, Russell?
Right.
You know, and you know, they did the deal at 11:59, okay? The video came out almost 1 o'clock. How many takes Russell have to do before he got it right? We've been watching Russell for years. Russell be on the press conference talking about, well, I got up to the line, it was 3rd and 20. I saw the safety over the top and I hit him on a cutback. Now he up here talking about, we got a deal, y'all. For really, though.
That's my point.
Man.
He overcooling.
Let that woman do that to you, man.
He overcooling.
But you're not giving Sierra any credit for, you know, doesn't she deserve celebration for?
Sierra get credit? I tell you what she get. She would have got blame if it would have got messed up. Now, that's what would have happened.
That's true.
Okay?
That is true.
And as far as you sitting up here talking about, they the Barack and Michelle Obama of royalty. No, they the Lucian and Cookie Lines of the NFL. That's what they doing. Hey, look at Sierra. Look at right there. Man, Sierra got them rap roots. You know she connected, man. Man, Sierra been done put in a phone call to on Pete Carroll. He been done choked on his gum. Man. man. Come on with that, man.
You think that's empire, Lucius.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, they got it like that, man. Come on. I'm going to tell you who ain't happy. I'm going to tell you who ain't happy.
Sermon.
Hey, boy, it's somebody up in Boston right now.
Ooh.
Talking about, hey, Tom up here getting a workout. She coming to hit him with the newspaper. What is this, Tom? What is this? 65 million, Tom. And who is this? What is her name? Ciroc? What is her name?
Ciroc.
She's not as beautiful as me. The most beautiful woman in here. Tom like, yeah, but baby, I got six rings. Six rings, your ass. You will play till you're 50, Tom.
I'm getting kind of tired, baby.
Tired jazz, Tom.
We got to stop, man.
And that's how it goes, dude.
We try to keep it real.
The wives club and the moms club get together. What you paying him?
$65 million. Who cares about your six rings?
Hey. I
give
Take you
them
that
to
one.
The bank.
I give
All
you that
right,
one.
We got an approval rating on Sierra.
Mm.
I've got her GOAT status, 85. Mm. 24 job performance, 20 all-time greatness, 21 character, 20 okay. authenticity.
GOAT.
Oh, that was terrible.
That sound was like terrible. Russell Wilson. Yeah.
Sierra, like, take again. Do another take.
You got a deal, dog.
I don't know why you had that roller coaster of numbers. It's 100. One, I don't disrespect anybody's wife in the football frat, so respect her. Plus, I was a fan of her before Russell Wilson, so let's just say she's 100 all the way through.
I got a cramp in my respect. Stomach from laughing.
You ain't right.
Could you take, I'm serious, you got to take us to this final 10 seconds. I can barely
You
talk.
Okay?
Yeah, I
hey, don't tap out, dog. I just got here.
Maybe you need to see
like over there hurting.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.